This is North Shore Today. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell. And it is Wednesday, January 6th, and looks like the sun will be out today. And we're going to have temperatures in the 40s, a big change from earlier in this week with those bitter cold temperatures. So that's good news for winter, I guess. And for you South Shore skiers, great day for you yesterday, you know, or last couple of days. But Rick, not up here in your kind of skis country.
Well, you know, I'm okay with not shoveling. It's okay with me. You know, the thing is, for skiing, all it has to do is stay cold up north, you know, because they can make the snow. It's got to stay under 32. So if it stays under 32 day and night up north, I'm fine. I'm fine. So, you know, we're good.
Bottled water, making snow. What's this world coming to, huh?
Yeah, I know. They'll be selling bottled air soon, I'm sure.
There you go. Hey, one breaking story this morning on the news this morning was the fire in Saugus. There's a house fire in Saugus, and for those of you, apparently everybody got out, but it was a very heroic kind of event, apparently, where it's right off of Essex Street, or right on Essex Street, which is, if you're headed up Route 1 North, right opposite York Ford, there's that exit, Essex Street, and right there, almost right there, stone's throw from Route 1 itself, is the house, and the flames, you know, on the television this morning on Fox 25, where in the other channels, it was just shooting up into the air. The whole house was engulfed. In the house was an 84-year-old woman who owned the house, a grown adult. I think it was her daughter and maybe a granddaughter. They all got out, but the firemen in the place, Rick, apparently, Saugus firefighters, they got upstairs, and the heat was so intense that they lost their air. And in essence, apparently, again, the initial report is that two Malden firefighters who were there, because that's right on the Malden-Saugus line, really, in essence, they were there, and they pulled a couple of Saugus firefighters, at least one out, and more or less saved their lives, and out of the front window and down the stairs. So there was a couple of saves there. So we'll hear more about that, and we're not reporting live from the scene or anything like that, but just apparently, again, it just shows, again, what these firefighters do, you know, or set themselves up to possibly do on a day in and day out basis, and that is seriously risk their lives. And again, a salute to them, and especially and to all of them. But I really got to hand it to those the systems that they have in place where they could radio locate them, you know, when they're down in the house, a burning house, and someone can go in and rescue them. So kind of an amazing story, yeah.
Yeah, just shake your head at that stuff, and I guess it's a good reminder about, you know, winter fire safety in the house and so on, not having any idea what happened there, but people have got to remember to be careful, you know, with space heaters and candles and fireplaces and all that stuff. Just be super careful. You always hear about something like that this time of year, and it's just awful to hear, but hopefully those guys will be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, anyway, that was the breaking news story today. We had a basketball game last night. We'll talk about sports in just a moment. Andy St. Pierre will join us. He's the athletic director at Danvers High School. He was our halftime guest last night, and we did an interview with him. It didn't all get on because of a live issue, but it's on our broadcast. But we'll feature that interview at the end of our program here today, Andy St. Pierre from Danvers High School Athletics. I'm looking at a story today, front page of the item, too, Rick, where the headline is City Wants to Change Partners on Union. So that would be Partners Healthcare, and that would be Union Hospital. And the Department of Public Health will hold a determination of need hearing. This is a story by Bridget Turcotte in today's paper regarding the North Shore Medical Center on Thursday, 4:00 at Lynn City Hall. Residents are encouraged by City Councilor Dan Cahill to attend the hearing to show their opposition or support to possible change or closure of the hospital. There have been a lot of concerns, primarily with the elderly population having access to health care. Cahill and other major concerns include how the change could impact the battling of the opioid epidemic and what will happen with behavioral health and health care services. And he said, quote, people are concerned and whether Partners is going to continue to operate an emergency care department beyond the 3-year commitment. So that is Thursday at 4, that hearing at Lynn City Hall.
Yeah, you know, it's a double-edged sword, too, Bill, with health care costs. It's just amazing. The things that can be done now, the things that are routine that just a few years ago were life-threatening, and now they're routine, and, you know, you have so-called day surgery. So that's the good news. But then the bad news is the cost of this stuff. And then, you know, it all cycles around. People put in more hours. They need to make more money for the hours they put in. The equipment costs more. So, you know, it's, I don't know, it's, it, as I said, it's a double-edged sword. I know that I had an episode where I had to have a brief hospitalization back in the spring for 3 days. Not even 3 days, 2.5 days. And I was complaining about the fact that my insurance costs had gone up $100 a month. And for 30 hours in the hospital, I got the bill. And the bill was $18,000 for 30 hours. And with my health insurance coverage, I didn't have to pay very much at all. And so, you know, you got to pay for the health insurance, and everything is expensive on the one hand. But on the other hand, it's just remarkable how good health care can be.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously you want that catastrophic care, that the kind of care that becomes, when you see that bill for $18,000, that's catastrophic right there. Even though it be,
I'll be at
30 hours. Oh my gosh. So anyway, yeah. I mean that. Well, we're not going to solve the healthcare issue. That's for sure on this program.
No. Something, and the other thing we're not going to solve is the rhetoric, the political rhetoric. And I want to try to get a hold of somebody. Opponents on the gun issue, because I'm reading the rhetoric and watching the news, and the rhetoric is just so inflammatory. And as a logician, it doesn't make any sense to me. So I really want to talk to I want to talk to some people on both sides of the issue and see if there's any common ground at all. I mean, it's just it to me, I think it's part and parcel of the symptoms that we have in this country with red state, blue state thing. It's just, you're on that side, so the answer is no. Oh, you're on the other side, well, the answer is no. So, I just want to see if on a local level there's any common ground between these extreme sides.
I bet, Rick, if we pulled in a guy like, for example, a Paul Tucker, who's now representative in Salem, who's been on the front line on these issues in a city, in Salem, for example, or you other police chiefs in our area, I think there would be a very common sense discussion on that piece. Even our district attorney, as a matter of fact, you know what, you talk about political rhetoric. What concerns me is there's no one trying to come together on these things. We're divided on everything and on so many things, and this is just one of those issues. I do think there's probably, you know, actually in a way, there's been a lot of common agreement on some gun control issues if you look at it across the country, and states are different, and there has been a lot, you know, there are a lot of laws that aren't really being enforced. And one of the things is I really think that the president has some points on, why should there be loopholes? Why should there be, but some of the things he was proposing yesterday, for example, Rick, one of the things was having doctors reporting to federal agencies on things. And I'm not necessarily opposed to that. I'll listen to that piece. But some people were flipping out over that one yesterday and flipping around listening to talk radio, in the sense that we have all these HIPAA concerns, right? I mean, you can't say anything to anyone about anything, and except, you know, with the HIPAA thing, which is, again, that's probably a step all in the right direction. But now the government is going to be asking doctors to report people, regarding the gun issue and asking questions about that. And I'm not sure that's where our problems are coming from. You know, I still think this is where the commonality or common ground doesn't happen. What about all the deaths that are taking place that are taking place day to day on gun deaths? And 2/3 of the gun deaths are suicide. And that's a mental health issue, as far as I'm concerned, and that needs to be addressed. And so you got mental health, you got the suicide issue, you got a number of things that we just don't address. And I think that's, no one's taking a really good comprehensive look at that piece. And I bet our police chiefs, I'm just betting that they would have a much better, much better responses for us, as listeners and as citizens, to try to look at this and try to come up with some solutions.
I agree. And I think, Bill, my point is that if we can come together on common grounds on a local level in a very small way, then maybe that can be extended step by step up the ladder. And I think, Gloucester's example of the Angel program is a prime example of how to do that, because it's a very hot button topic with the opioid addiction and so on. And there are, is very passionate on any side of the issue, but Gloucester's done something, and others as well, to change the thinking about that in a very positive way. And I'm just thinking, if we could do that with in a very small way with anything, get a couple of people together, you know, officials, people who carry some weight, but on either side of an issue. It doesn't necessarily have to be about guns or opioids, but anything that is inflammatory in terms of public discourse, then maybe we can step that up the ladder and start pushing our representatives, our senators, our officials in the federal government, the state government, whatever, to understand, okay, we can do this as neighbors in a city, and we can have great disagreements, but we can talk about it, and we can at least posit some solutions and, you know, maybe agree to disagree, but do it in a positive way and get the ball rolling. And maybe, as I said, we can force this up the ladder, because, man, it ain't working. And it just makes me nervous watching the language on these news stories from both sides, you know, from the left and the right. And it's disturbing to me. There are good people on both sides. We're all Americans, and we all want good things for this country. So let's. I don't know. I'm thinking about this, Bill. I'm going to see if we can. I'm going to see if I can, do something about that. Maybe come up with an idea with you, and something we can, you know, we can talk with some people, get a little discussion or a round table or something or other. Just an idea. I think it can work. I think we can make it better.
Well, you know, I agree with you on that. And here's another thing is that, you know, you look at right now we're at a place, you know, education's been in a place where show me the results, and if the results aren't there, implement remediation plans to get me the results that we need on, say, test scores, on whatever, reading scores. You know, that we're in a very results-oriented kind of, or we're in that kind of results-oriented situation or environment. But when it comes to, as you were just explaining, the gun thing, show me the results. Show me what works, and take an incident, tell me what we could have done differently to make that not happen. I don't think you can look at it in this blur, and that's what we're being presented with, talking points and a blur from both sides here. And you're right about the Angel program. There's an action where the chief looked and said, we're not getting the results. The bottom line of these lives are getting lost. Those aren't the results that we want. I'm a police officer. You know, in a way, I mean, it's not necessarily his job. I mean, directly his job. But he stepped in and Campanello, Chief Campanello in Gloucester, came up with tried a solution. And it's catching on, and it makes sense because, what it is might be working. And people like that idea. They like that approach because it actually is trying to get results to try to change lives. And I think I think we could do a nice feature or two on that piece, looking at some of the people here on the North Shore. Because, I think that when you live in a community, you know, you can have a discussion and a more reasonable kind of discussion. Again, right now, I think we're in this talking points blur, to be honest with you. So,
you know, you mentioned data. You know, a data-driven society or whatever. Data, you want results, and I'm thinking a data-driven initiative is what I was trying to think of. The word initiative, but anyway, the National Transportation Safety Board comes to mind. I know I've talked with a member. When I was taking flying lessons, my flight instructor was a member of the NTSB, and he was a former Marine fighter pilot. 18 aircraft carrier landing, 6,000 hours in jets way back then. So he knew what he was talking about. And the interesting thing is, if you read the NTSB stuff, they investigate individual incidents, of course, in great detail. And what's amazing, Bill, and I know this is very naive thinking, but what's amazing is that rarely, when the NTSB comes up with a recommendation, they find a cause of an accident and come up with a recommendation, rarely does that same kind of accident happen ever again. And imagine if we could apply that model to other things. You know, if we had something about whatever, drugs or crime or whatever it might be. Imagine if we had that kind of system in place that we would research something and get results. I think that would be really cool. But the NTSB is just amazing.
I'm glad that's a great example because, you know, how often have the, I don't fly a lot now, but, and I haven't flown, I probably now in a year and a half, but for a while there I was flying for Boston College and stuff, And I'd get, and I, and other things. And I, but, so I was doing a lot of, I was doing flying, you know. And so you're sitting in airports, you're waiting. And I'm an okay flyer. I don't, you know, it's not, I don't have to, you know, I'm pretty calm. But, you know, like, I don't know. I think everybody must at some point go, oh, geez, we're taking off. We're in the air. We're in this big metal machine here, you know. Gravity does kind of play a role in things, you know. Who knows what can happen? You know, you got the terrorist things that were going on around the country at different points. And one of the things that I always, you know, if I got a little nervous, you know, at takeoff or landing, or you know, or you know, when the plane's shaking,
turbulence.
I'm sorry. So whether it's turbulence or whatever, one of the things I do is I just in my head go, wait a minute, Bill, about. I don't know, 300 planes took off from Logan today. That's just one airport across the country. Those 300 planes all come down safely. You know, New York has four airports in the area. They're all taking off all the time. These planes are coming and going constantly. What are the chances, like winning the lottery, we were talking about that yesterday. What are the chances of something happening to your plane, Bill? And then it kind of relaxes me because it's that data. I'm just running it through my head going, yeah, okay, I'm okay. I should be fine, you know. I don't know if other people do the same thing or not, but most of the time I'm great, but every once in a while I just get these thoughts in my head and something or other, something triggers it, you know, and you're just there, oh, geez, you know, but, you know, and that's what I do. It kind of calms me down. It's probably, you know, again, I bet a lot of people do the same thing because as you said, you know, there are mistakes, you know. In fact, I was just reading and we forget about this stuff too. Remember the plane crash up in Peggy's Cove up in Nova Scotia? It was back years and years ago now. And I had forgotten all about it. We were up in Nova Scotia a few years ago, many years ago now, maybe 8 years ago, 7 years ago. And we came to this spot out in Nova Scotia where they have a tribute, you know, a park to the plane crash. There, I think it was headed from U.S. to Switzerland. It was almost diverted to Logan, but they... So I went and started reading it over the vacation a few weeks ago, and what happened was is the cockpit apparently filled with smoke, and so here you have a situation where you basically, now we were talking about a fire earlier today, you have a fire in a plane, and you forget this stuff, you forget the little details in planes, so whether it was a wiring issue or what, but they reconstructed everything. They said they had in the story I read, like, almost 2 million pieces of an airplane. They reconstructed that, and I mean that kind of work just doesn't happen. And you know, when we look at other things that we're doing in society,
but it's a model, maybe there are ways to copy that, you know, in a realistic fashion.
All right. Well, I know we've got our time is limited here today, so we're probably going to wrap it up here in a moment. We got Andy St. Pierre, the Danvers AD, joining us here in just a moment. Interview that we did with him last night. Got a few other features planned for later this week. Check in with us and some other sports happening this week on the website. Anything else, Rick, you want to share with the folks at all?
Just want to mention Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Yeah. We'll be back on Friday, and we're looking maybe to change that to Thursday after that. But we do have a couple of guests already lined up for North Shore Sports Night on Monday night, next Monday night. Emily Hudak, the Marblehead girls hockey coach, will be on board. And we're going to be talking with Dan Harrison, former Salem News sports writer, now the sports editor up at the New Report Daily News. So those are some of the guests that we'll see next Monday. And check out the website for, broadcasts. We may have a broadcast tonight. I'm just not sure at this point. It's still up in the air.
All right. That would be a high school hockey game. So check back a little bit later on today on that one. What we'll do, we're going to... pop in Coach or AD St. Pierre right here, and we'll back with a final comment just ahead here on North Shore Today.
Andy St. Pierre, athletic director at Danvers High School, is with us here on MSONewsSports.com. And Andy, tell us some of the highlights of winter sports so far here at Danvers High.
Now, the winter sports season has been going really well. You know, we have a lot of new stuff going on. We're playing hockey over at Endicott College this year, both boys and girls. And, you know, it's a really beautiful arena, and the kids really like it over there. So that's very exciting for us. And here the basketball team's off to a great start. The boys have a couple tough losses, but they're playing really well. They're kind of finding their identity a little bit, but they're playing hard, and new leaders are stepping up. Girls team struggling a little bit, but they're young and they're fighting, and you know they're improving, which is important. Track teams are doing well. They're competing hard. We're hosting a lot of track meets this year at home, which is nice for the kids. swimming's doing really well. A couple big wins for them. They swim down at the YMCA in Danvers.
Girls hockey.
They had their first loss, unfortunately, last week, but they're a really strong team. They're one of the top teams in the state. So we're hopeful they're going to have a good run here this winter, later this winter.
Yeah, just following up on the girls hockey, because before we started the interview, we were talking about them. And, you know, the teams play kind of different schedules than you might expect. In other words, you don't have a full Northeastern Conference schedule like boys hockey has or basketball has. But it's a combined team with Beverly. Like you said, they're pretty highly regarded this year.
Yeah, they're going to be battle-tested as well. Coach Seabury does a great job with them. And, you know, if you asked him, he schedules tough teams. He doesn't want a cupcake schedule. He wants these girls ready to play. So he's going out and he's finding teams from all over to play. You know, get the best competition. You got to beat the best to be the best. I think that's their mantra. And, you know, they're tough. A couple different schools are involved in the co-op, but they get along really well. And there's a lot of great camaraderie and team chemistry there. It's impressive.
The thing back to the basketball team here, Andy, is that this is not the same team that Coach Walsh had the last couple of years. They're nowhere near as tall, but like you said, I'm sure they're going to be putting things together here.
But there's a mentality, there's a toughness, there's a defensive mindset that's present in all the coaches' teams, and they have that. You know, they may not have the size or the studs that we had in past years, but these guys work hard and they're grinders and they're going to be in every game. You know, they may lose a couple, they have lost a couple, but they're going to be there at the end and they'll be a force to be reckoned with.
Maybe the last question, looking forward to the spring. I know you named a new softball coach, right, a couple weeks ago, correct?
We did, yes. Colleen Newberry. She's on board, so we're very happy about her. She had tremendous track record at St. Mary's and Lynn, and we're very fortunate to have her. And, you know, a lot of the girls on our team know her just from working in the area and off-season training. She has a great rapport, great personality, and great way about her. The girls relate to her really well, and you know, her track record, as I mentioned, speaks for itself at St. Mary's.
Andy, anything else to share with us about Danvers High Athletics?
No, this is a great it's a great time of year for us. If you look around, we got all new banners in here, and it's a good new look for us here, and it's exciting. And next Tuesday night, we're going to have a banner unveiling ceremony for last year's state championship team.
Oh, nice.
So we're really excited about that. The team's worked really hard, and they deserve some recognition for their accomplishments last year.
All right, Andy, good talking with you, and best of luck the rest of the winter and spring.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Andy St. Pierre, athletic director at Danvers High School, with us on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, that's it for North Shore today. And that was Andy St. Pierre, of course, the athletic director at Danvers High School, in an interview we did last night. Might have a hockey game this afternoon. Not quite sure about that. 40s for temperatures today. Lots of sunshine. Looks like a great day. And check back with the website. We got a lot of local content, original local content coming up as well. And again, hope everything goes well. That great story of the rescue of the firefighters in Saugus this morning in Saugus. Malden and Saugus firefighters combining. At least those are at least two of the departments that were there for that huge house fire on Essex Street in Saugus. And Rick, again, trending now. Friday at 10 o'clock, correct?
Friday at 10 o'clock, yep, and all good stuff. So stay tuned. Have a great day, Bill.
That's Josh Arnold. This is MSO, newsports.com, and this is North Shore Today.